It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now to the future of the Wisconsin Democratic Party and takeaways from razor-thin margins in some races. First major election since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. We had this conversation with Wisconsin GOP Chairman Paul Farrow on Friday. So now join in on the midterms and where the Democratic Party is headed. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Ben Wickler chairs the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Ben, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Kate, great to be back here with you.
Well, starting at home in our state legislature, Republicans unable to get the veto-proof supermajority they wanted, Governor Tony Evers winning another four-year term. What is next for divided government in Wisconsin? Where does it go from here?
I'll tell you what I hope is next. I hope Republicans go beyond the kind of bad faith proposals they've had so far and actually come to the table to think through with Governor Evers about how to get things done for Wisconsinites that Wisconsinites want to see happen. The governor's proposed $2 billion investments in our public schools. Republicans are saying they won't add a penny unless we divert money to private schools. That's no way to start a conversation. We have a governor who wants to overturn and end the 1849 abortion ban. Republicans are talking about making the tiniest little tweaks on the side. My hope is, now that Republicans have tried their best to throw all the Democrats out and found that the governor tripled his margin of victory, earned support all over the state of Wisconsin, found that even their ultra-gerrymandered maps, the most gerrymandered in the United States, couldn't get them to a supermajority in the state legislature, it's time to recognize that when the majority of Wisconsinites vote for something, it's time for legislators to listen to it.
I want to go back to the point you made on education. WPR is reporting that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, reelected there, says GOP lawmakers and Governor Evers could reach a budget compromise on education funding. What are your thoughts there on a compromise?
Well, what we know that voters want, because we see them not only say it in polls and vote for the education governor, but also go to referendum to increase funding for their public schools and make sure their schools have the resources that they need to support all our kids, regardless of disability status, across race and ethnicity and country of origin. This is a core Wisconsin value. We're a state that believes in public schools. My hope is that we take a page from the governor's first budget, that Republicans realize that schools need more resources and add to the amount. What we're seeing from Republicans right now is an insistence on diverting money away from the public education system. And I know that there are some advocates for that around the state. It does not have the majority support of the public to take money away from public schools to put it into private schools. So I really hope that this is about the magnitude of investment that we make in our public schools. But, you know, we have a little while to be able to work this out. And I think one of the things Republicans will have to do is think through, what does it mean for them that in the places that used to be the reddest parts of our state, Ozaukee County used to be the reddest county in the state of Wisconsin, Waukesha, Washington County, they're losing support dramatically and rapidly. And these are places where they tried to, you know, recall school board members in order to put in these very far right anti-public school candidates, and that didn't work. So this really is a moment, I think, of reckoning for the Republican Party about whether their message on education resonates with people, or whether they should move towards the middle and invest in a school system that works for everyone.
If you're just joining us, talking about the 2022 midterm results with Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, you can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Ben, you mentioned the WOW counties, as they're known there, these Milwaukee suburb counties. But let's look a little bit at your camp here, the Democratic camp. There are concerns that Democrats are losing ground to Republicans in rural areas. What is the Democrats' plan for appealing to rural voters?
Well, the first thing to note is that Governor Evers actually added votes in many rural counties relative to 2018 and added his vote share in a number of rural counties. There are others, it's true, where Republicans added more votes or gained more ground on the margin. But this wasn't what we saw in, for example, Virginia, where a huge explosion in Republican turnout in rural areas swamped an increased Democratic turnout in urban and suburban areas and led to a Republican win for the governor. In Wisconsin, the picture was more balanced. Now, that said, there's obviously more to do. And Governor Evers has, I was with him on a bus tour in, throughout rural Wisconsin, throughout northern Wisconsin. We were in Merrill, Wisconsin, in a building that was packed to the gills, people leaning over balconies. And folks were responding to his message first about paving the roads, investing in public schools, getting broadband to rural communities, opening up stores on Main Street. We have the Main Street Bounce Back Program that's been enormously successful, and also a message of freedom. You know, no matter where you are in Wisconsin, folks want the basic freedom to decide when and whether to start the family or expand their families. They also want to know that their vote will be counted if they cast a ballot. And those things resonate in red and blue areas. But we know that there's ground to make up. We know that there's a lot of folks in rural Wisconsin who have under-resourced public schools who still don't have connections to broadband. There are economic development issues and issues around making sure this is a state that lives up to our values about showing up for everyone that I think will help Democrats to continue to connect with folks in rural parts of the state. I hope that the depolarization of Wisconsin politics could make a difference here. You know, the more we turn into kind of red camp versus blue camp, the harder it is to make compromises and make agreements that benefit everyone. So I hope that we can turn down the temperature a little bit now that the election's over.
What about Dane County and how you see it carrying the state? Evers receiving over 16,000 more votes in Dane this cycle than in 2018. What do you see as the future for Dane County inspiring high turnout for Democrats?
Dane County has this extraordinary combination of three things. One is the population is growing. So in contrast to Milwaukee, where the population actually declined, in Dane County, there are just more voters. The second thing is that the margin for Governor Evers has grown. So, and that's true of Milwaukee County as well. There are more people of those who are there are voting for Democrats. And the third is that turnout went up. And so a larger share of a larger group voted more Democratic. Every year, it seems like we must hit the ceiling. And I have to say that people who are organizing in communities around Dane County, in neighborhood action teams, working with the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, the folks who are organizing with grassroots groups, the unions who are turning out every member of their unions to cast their ballots, I am in awe of their work. It is spectacular. And in some cases, these teams have been going since the Howard Dean campaign for president in 2003. They've never stopped. And you can see the results when so many people turn out and cast their ballot. I think the future is this is an area where people find opportunity, where there are jobs. And it seems like this trend is going to continue. Again, I think the challenge for Republicans is, can they actually craft a message that resonates in Dane County and not just in the areas that are deep red? The challenge, I think, for any party that aspires to be a majority party is how to speak to voters in every part of the state. And I really invite Republicans in leadership to think about how to craft a message that can make sense to folks in Dane County, which really would involve dropping the most extreme parts of their agenda that frankly mobilize more voters to turn out on our side than on their side.
Michael called from Green Bay, and Michael says it's no secret that young voters tend to vote Democrat. And Michael wants to know, are there any strategies by the Democratic Party to maintain voters as they age?
Absolutely. And this election, I have been just hat is off. Not that I wear a hat like a early 2020 or an early 1900s. Democratic Party chair, but if I wore a fedora, I would doff it to the young voters in Wisconsin. The best study that I've seen so far found that probably a 70% margin for Democrats by young voters in the state of Wisconsin. And we were rated the state where young voters were most likely to tip the outcome in statewide races, like the governor's race. And they turned out for Mandela Barnes in extraordinary numbers. I waited in line at UW-Madison to turn in my absentee ballot for an hour and a half with a group of young voters who were mostly 18 casting ballots for the first time. And they understood the stakes for themselves, for their own lives, from abortion freedoms to climate change to issues like gun violence that have affected kids who've done these drills in their schools, you know, throughout their childhood. This is so personal for so many young people. Now, the key thing is making sure that we keep engaging. We've been running a continuous youth organizing program at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin since the summer of 2019, and there are extraordinary efforts by a ton of different organizations to engage young voters. We're going to continue that, and we have an election coming up on April 4th, where if we do our job right, young voters are going to play a decisive role once again.
Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, leader for the past 3.5 years. Join in on party strategy, the future of grassroots efforts to get out the vote, young voters, why you supported Democratic candidates in the midterms, or why you had a split vote. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Democrats and Republicans both won and lost major races in last week's midterms, and that keeps our purple state reputation alive and well. We're in conversation with the head of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin on midterm takeaways. Also, we're going to get into the influence of ex-President Donald Trump on the contests. Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler stays with us. Let's talk about the 3rd Congressional District for a moment. The Journal Sentinel says Democratic House Representative Mark Pocan is blaming the National Party for the party losing this district. Democrat Brad Paff ultimately lost to Derek Van Orden by roughly 4 percentage points. What do you make of the loss?
Oh, it's a heartbreaker. Brad Paff is a tremendous public servant. He's a great state senator. He's been a huge leader, especially for agricultural communities in our state and our country, and especially the 3rd Congressional District. Derek Van Orden, it's hard to imagine him representing this purple district well, given his record, his history as someone who went to the insurrection, was on Capitol grounds. He's on probation right now. When he gets to Congress, he'll be on probation for trying to bring a loaded gun on a plane. If I could go back in time and wave a magic wand, there's really two things I would change about this election. One is for the national committees to manifest more resources to invest in Wisconsin in the Senate race in September, and the other is in the 3rd Congressional District all the way through. We were outspent, I think, 3-1 or 4-1 in that race. For federal races like House and Senate, the state party doesn't have the same role in helping to provide resources for things like TV ads. We do the get out the vote operation, the voter protection, all those kinds of things we can do. But what you need is the kind of cavalry to arrive. And the cavalry was fighting all over the country in the House. And we're seeing that in the districts that are still counting ballots right now. The battlefield, the number of districts that wound up being hotly contested was vast. And the 3rd Congressional District didn't wind up making the cut for the national kind of decision makers on that. And I get that they had some very hard math to do, but I do think that if voters saw and heard and understood both candidates in that race fully, I feel like we could have done it. And I think that that's going to be a prime target in 2024 for the House race then.
Let's bring in a caller on this race, Mike in Bruce. Mike, what are your thoughts?
Hi there. Yeah, I think you pretty well just answered it. I was kind of coincidental that that's why I called in. But yeah, just the logic behind pulling money from ads for Brad Paff, because I think that cost him. So I think you pretty well answered my question.
All right, Mike, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Joe now in River Falls. Joe, go ahead.
Good morning. So you were asking about especially split voters. I did split my vote. I generally vote Republican when I can, pro-life, and generally agree with them. But I really couldn't vote for the infection that is our former president and all of the deniers and all that kind of stuff. We need to get back to voting for, not voting for that kind of garbage and not dealing with that kind of garbage.
Joe, thank you. Joe saying couldn't vote for the infection that is our former president. Ben Wickler, what do you make of the split vote here?
I'm really grateful to your caller because the caller is somebody who put country before party. And that's so unusual in this day and age. And it's an act of courage. this really was an elemental question of whether we should be a democracy in the United States. And what struck me about Tim Michels' campaign is that he demonstrated a willingness, and Tim Michels as a candidate, to do whatever Trump asked, including opening the door to trying to decertify the 2020 election and refusing to commit to certifying the results of the 2024 election unless he, as he put it, he fixed our election system first. That is not how Wisconsin works. That's not how America is supposed to work. And, you know, sometimes there's a real, I think, question of, for each of us, what is the line we're not willing to cross? What is the principle that calls us to do something different from what we've done before? I do think, like your caller and like others across Wisconsin, there are some folks for whom Tim Michels and the prospect of Trump doing what he did in 2020, but successfully this time, and trying to overturn a presidential election, that was a bridge too far. And I'm just really deeply grateful to folks who looked in the mirror and said, is that what I want to vote for? And decided no, even if they disagreed with a particular candidate on a range of other issues.
We've been hearing reports across a number of news organizations that former President Trump is widely expected to announce today a run for presidency in 2024. How could Trump on the campaign trail affect the work you do and affect Wisconsin politics for upcoming elections?
The most frightening thing is that when Trump is on a kind of rampage, that can lead some people to physical threats to election workers, to public servants. So my first hope is that we have safety as we go forward if Trump does decide to run again. And we saw the kind of zenith of that threat in the insurrection, where multiple police officers and others wound up losing their lives to suicide or succumbing to injuries. So that's the first thing that I think about. The second thing that strikes me about President Trump is that he's now fractured his party profoundly. We saw this in the Tim Michels versus Rebecca Clayfish battles that are still raging on social media right now. We see it on the national stage. And we haven't seen the Republican Party actually rally around any kind of concrete vision for what they want to do for our state or for our country. Governor Evers was very clear about what he wanted to do, which is to build on the work he's been doing. What's best for our kids is what's best for our state. Make sure to invest and support small businesses, expand access to healthcare, and ensure freedom for people from their personal medical decisions to their rights as citizens. That agenda, you know, resonates broadly. The Republican Party, I think, has a choice to make, just like the caller who just called in, about whether they want to be enthralled to someone who's essentially telling a story about revenge, or if they want to embrace a vision for the future that voters can weigh against the Democrats' vision for the future, which is how a democracy is supposed to work. That's my hope for the GOP, that they shake loose the iron grip of Donald Trump over these next 2 years.
Let's look ahead to future elections. Majority control is in play for the state Supreme Court in the spring, and conservative Justice Brian Hagedorn won the last opening in spring 2019 after Democratic victories in the 2018 general election. How do you intend to keep momentum going into the next election in the spring?
The first thing is to not stop. We have hundreds of neighborhood teams all across the state of Wisconsin. And when I compare the numbers that Wisconsin GOP has made public to ours, it looks like we did about 70% more attempts and knocking on doors, calling people's phones to reach out to voters across the state. I think that helped win these elections and come within 1 point of the Senate race. That is going to continue. We're going to be organizing all the way through April 4th. And right now we're encouraging folks to run for local office. Anyone listening could think about running for office in the spring elections. You start gathering signatures next month in December. So ensuring we have candidates up and down the ballot. And then in the Supreme Court race, making sure that people know that once again, the freedom to access abortion care is on the ballot. This is an issue that goes directly to the state Supreme Court, as well as gerrymandering and the ability to have maps where the public's will can determine the majority in the state legislature, and so much more. This is a very high stakes election, maybe the most high stakes other than the top of the ticket races just now, the attorney general, the governor, the Senate race. This might be the most important, other than the Georgia runoff, the most important election between now and 2024 to shape the whether we have a fair playing field in the 2024 presidential race in the tipping point state. So this is a big one, and we want to make sure that voters know it, including the young voters who just turned out for the first time in 2022.
Ben, thank you for joining us.
So grateful to join you today.
Ben Wickler chairs the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, and we heard from the chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, Paul Farrow, last Friday. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.